Well, this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of Exodus in the 13th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. Good to see each of you out this morning with your Bibles ready to study. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Deering has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things are made ready, where you could come forward and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins, or if you need to be restored and brought back to Christ. As we're standing and singing, if you'll make your way to the front, we'll be glad to pray with and for you and help you in any way that we can. In the book of Exodus and the 13th chapter, I want to read verses 17 and 18 with you for the thought of our study. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. When you're going on a long trip and the children are with you, how often do you sit there and hear the words, "Are we there yet?" Or as you're driving along and you hear from the back seat, "How much further do we have to go?" Or maybe you'll all of a sudden be driving along. It's just a matter of time until one in the back seat will nudge the other and then trouble breaks out. Seeing this in our own family trips helps us to see the feeling of the people of Israel on their trip. In the book of Exodus and the 13th chapter, you'll remember that the people are leaving Egypt, and this is before they have crossed the Red Sea. And I'd like for us to get a clear picture of the people of God at this time as they were slaves to Egypt. They cried to God to get us out of here. And in Exodus chapter 3, God called Moses at the burning bush to be the one to deliver the people from the bondage of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 13, you remember after the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptian children, and Pharaoh said, "Just go, just get out of here," that here you find Moses leading the people out. But God, as He directs Moses, instead of sending them the short way, He directs them another way. God knew that if they would go through the land of the Philistines, much trouble with the Philistine nation might change their mind during the war, and that they may return to Egypt. But then if you take your Bible, notice even after they've been delivered from the Philistines at the Red Sea crossing, you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that they sinned against God. And I want you to think about Israel's rebellion. In the book of Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter, remember that God says in verse 2, "You shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not." As a result of their sin, you remember He led them for 40 years through the wilderness, a place that was not inhabited. And remember, He had promised them a land that would flow with milk and honey, and here they are in the wilderness. And I can imagine some of them saying, "How much longer before we get there? And why are we going this way, Lord?" And I would like for us to think about, would they continue to follow God when they did not understand why He didn't take them the shortcut? I want us to think about the desert for just a moment. And I want to know, why does God allow us to have desert experiences? Notice, if you will, in your Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy and the 8th chapter, in verse 2, that God gives us several reasons why He let the people come through at that particular time. Notice He first says to humble them. Here were a people that had just escaped bondage. You would think they would have been humble. But after 40 years, God knew their heart. God knew their resistance. God knew their selfishness. And God said they needed to be humble. But secondly, notice it was a place to test them. The desert is not a place you want to go, but God knew it was the place they needed to go to have their faith put to test. When they're in the desert, would they change their mind that they would not follow God, but go back to Egypt? And it was a place to strengthen their faith. It was a place they needed to be so that their faith in God would grow. Now, it was a place they did not want to be. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in a place we don't want to be, but where we need to be, so our faith will grow in God. You think about the young man identified as Joseph in the book of Genesis and the 37th chapter. You remember that this young man was sold into slavery. His own brothers had put him into the well, and then they sell him. And there he is taken down to Egypt. But after some time of being mistreated, you remember that he is promised to be a great leader, and then he becomes that great leader. But before he became that great leader, he had to experience some unpleasant things. His faith had to be tested. He was humbled. And he had to go through some unpleasant things before he received the promise of God. Then if you take your Bible, look in 1 Samuel and the 16th chapter. And when you come to 1 Samuel and the 16th chapter, you'll find David being anointed as king over Israel. When you drop down to verse 18, you see they anoint him as king. But then you'll find in the next few chapters, David is living in caves and hiding from Saul. He had to go through the desert experience because Saul was envious of him, and God allowed him to be tested, he allowed him to be humbled, and he allowed him to put his faith to the test. And I want you to think about David going through the wilderness, hiding from Saul, before the promise came when Saul was killed and David took the throne. But then, if you will, look in your Bible in the book of Daniel and think about that young man. A young man who was loyal and gifted with wisdom. And you'll remember he wound up in a strange land and he was put in the lion's den. But I want you to think about that young man who was grown to be a prophet of God. He went through several terrible experiences, and yet, my friend, he was tested and he kept his faith in God. Now then, I look at the wilderness and I see it was a place to humble. I look at the desert and I see it was a place to test. But there's a third thing I notice when I look at that desert experience. It was a place to see the love of God. It was in the desert where they could really see that God loved them. Even though He had taken them out of bondage in Egypt, and even though He had brought them out of that dreadful land, notice that it's in the wilderness that we read in Exodus 16 that God fed them manna from heaven, that God gave them water, that God did not forget them during their stay in the desert. In fact, the business, you'll find that God led them all the way. Go back, if you will, and notice that God is the one who led the people. Look in Exodus chapter 16, and you'll see that God is the one who fed them and gave them bread from heaven. And you remember that God went before them at day as a pillar of a cloud and by night as a pillar of fire. So God led them, God showed them His love, and it was a difficult place for them to be, but they knew that God still loved them and He provided for them even in the midst of the desert. Even when they felt alone, even when they felt like they were in the midst of a dry and humid place, God still showed His love. Even though it was a place they did not want to be, it was a place they needed. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lessons of yours. The first thing I want us to find out is that deserts come early and they'll come. When you become a Christian, you'll find it doesn't take long till you'll experience a desert moment. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15. He went out into the far country and he lived in the filth of sin. Then what happened? The Bible says a famine came. And you remember that young man came home, but I thought about the father. I doubt the father anticipated his son ever leaving. And how many of us have had to go through the pain of a child leaving the faith of God? And I'll tell you, that is a desert experience. To love your child, to want them to have their life right with God, to have their soul right with God, and then they leave the faith. And so many times, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we look at the parents and we don't give them the attention they need. Sometimes we blame the parents when the parents are to be blamed. Children grow up. They're free moral agents. They can be taught the truth all their life and still choose to go the wrong way. And we need to treat those parents with sympathy because their heart is breaking. They're going through a desert experience. They're going through heartache. And I'll tell you something, my friend. Don't ever say it won't happen to your child. I remember a man one time that told me, he said when he was talking about somebody else's child, he said, if it was my child, they wouldn't be living in my home. Several years later, his child was doing the same sort of thing. And guess what? He didn't kick him out. So don't say what you will or will not do until you get into that experience. And I'll tell you something else. What we need to do is be able to be the people to encourage someone who's going through the desert. Secondly, all of a sudden your finances may be in bad shape. You know, we live in a land of plenty, but even in a land of plenty, sometimes financial problems come, and you know something, that can feel like a desert experience. Sometimes we can work and save, and it doesn't matter how much we work and save. At the end of the week, we can't make the ends meet. And I'll tell you, that can be a difficult thing, and it can cause problems in the home. Now, I'll tell you something. Most families, at one time or another, are going to fuss about money. Now, you may not, and if you haven't, that's good. But I'll tell you, most people I've talked to along the way, they fussed about money somewhere. And that can be a desert experience. Then think about thirdly. Think about that there's something you worked for all your life and it doesn't come to pass. That can be a desert experience. But I want you to think about when we have all these things in our life, that there is something we need to remember, that God may be allowing us to be put to the test at a very unpleasant place to see if our faith is still in Him. Your marriage may be in the desert. Your marriage may be beginning to crumble. But this is the place where you learn to trust God and His promises. And I'll tell you something, my friend. A spouse may leave you. A child may leave you. Your parents may hurt you. But if you're a child of God, God has promised He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes that has to be sufficient. In Hebrews 13:5, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes in life, when we're going through the desert experience, we need to remember that God is there not to hurt us, but to help us through the desert. He'll lead us through. He'll help us through. He'll guide us through. He'll give us what we need. He'll give us grace sufficient enough to face the trials and troubles of life. Does that mean He removes the hurt? No, sir. Does that mean He removes all trials? No, sir. But what does God do? God gives us what we need in every trial to overcome it so that we do not lose our faith in Him. And that's where we learn to trust God. Our journey is to the land of promise. But when in the desert, we have to trust God to get us there. And you know what I've seen so many times with so many people, including myself at times. We talk about trusting God. We talk about putting our faith in God. And that's easy to do when you're in the oasis. But when you're in the desert, and when the rubber meets the road, the question is, do you put your faith in Him then? When it feels like you have gone down as low as you can go, and you feel like you can't handle any more, do you believe that God is still with you? Do you believe that God will still help you? Do you believe that God may be using this experience to humble us and test us to know what's in our heart, whether we'll keep His commandments or not? Now, God doesn't tempt us. James tells us that. That's the work of the evil one. So never blame God for being tempted. But I'll tell you something, my friend. God can use our desert experience to strengthen our faith. If life never had any problems, we would never look forward to heaven. There was an old saying near Charlotte, "Why worry about heaven when you live in Dixon County?" And you may say that about your county. Well, that may be as close as we come on earth, but I'll tell you something. In heaven, all these things will have passed. I've thought about how many hours I've sat worrying and grieving and struggling with things that I face. And then I look at some who just turn it over to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'll put it in your hands. And with you, I can face anything." Have we put our faith in God? Do we trust Him, not only in the oasis, but in the desert? Why this way, Lord? Maybe to strengthen our faith. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we pray that you would think about becoming a child of God and knowing that God can help you through every circumstance as together we stand and sing.